أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. The fifth constant of jihad, principle of jihad, is victory is not limited to military victory. So we shouldn't restrict the meaning of victory to the customary linguistic traditional meaning of what victory is. See, Islam gives new definitions to words, and that is what we refer to as al-ma'na al-istilahi. Islam didn't come up with new words. The words of the Arabic language were the words adopted by Islam, but Islam gave these words some new meanings. For example, like the word salah. The word salah existed in Arabia before Islam. It is an Arabic word that is pre-Islamic, and it meant supplication. But Islam came and gave it a new meaning, and that is what we understand as salah today, prayer. Siyam is refraining from something, but Islam gave it a new meaning, which is abstaining from eating and drinking from dawn to dusk. So when we're talking about victory, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given victory some new meanings. Therefore, we shouldn't limit our understanding of victory to winning in the battlefield. That's not the only meaning of victory. And the Shaykh brings some wonderful interpretations of what victory means. And I believe this is one of the most important constants that he talks about, in addition to the first constant, which is that jihad will carry on until the Day of Judgment. The author brings up about 11. He brings up 11 meanings of what victory can stand for. He says, إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يظن أن كل متعبد بفريضة الجهاد لا بد له أن ينتصر نصرا ميدانيا حسيا. A lot of Muslims believe that everyone who's practicing jihad needs to achieve physical victory in the battlefield. وأن الله شرع الجهاد ورتب عليه النصر الحسي فقط. And that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made the consequence of jihad physical victory. And I'm using the word physical victory here to mean the customary meaning of victory, which is winning in the battlefield. لأن مفهوم النصر منحصر عند الكثيرين بالغلبة العسكرية والنصر الميداني فحسب والله سبحانه وتعالى شرع لنا هذه الشعيرة ولم يضمن لمن ركب أهوالها أن ينتصر. Because a lot of people think that victory means physical military victory. And if we study Quran, we'll notice that Allah Azza wa Jalla has not guaranteed for the mujahideen victory. Somebody who chooses the path of jihad fi sabilillah doesn't have to win in each and every single battle. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِيَّمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, if a wound and killing has touched you, be sure a similar wound and killing has touched the others, and so are the days, good and not so good, we give to men by turns. So over here, twice in the ayah, Allah shows that you could actually lose. In the beginning, Allah says, إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ, if a wound hurts you, or if you're killed. So this, in a sense, is considered to be defeat, according to the understanding of people to what defeat is. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. And so are the days we give to men by turns. And this ayah was revealed after the Ghazwa of Uhud. The Muslims were amazed. How come we lost in Uhud? Why were they amazed? Because they had an outstanding victory in Badr and they thought that every battle is going to be the same way. So it was a shock for them to lose in Uhud. I mean, how could we lose when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is with us? How could we lose when we are the only Muslims on the face of the earth? How could we lose when Allah is on our side? So it was a shock for them, a surprise. So Allah Azza wa Jal is explaining to them that this is His will. And this is a sunnah of Allah. This is a law of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Days are going to be alternated in between people. One day you win, one day you lose. And that has been the sunnah of Allah Azza wa Jal throughout our history. It hasn't been all victory, neither has it been all losses. But we win in some battles and we lose in others. نزلت هذه الآية لتؤكد أن هذه السنة ماضية. This ayah was revealed to show us that this law of Allah will carry on. وكان نزول تأكيد هذه السنة الكونية بعد الهزيمة العسكرية التي لحقت بأهل أحد. ولو اتسعت مدارك الناس وفهموا معنى النصر لتأكدوا أن كل من ركب ذروة سنام الإسلام لا يمكن أبدا أن يخسر بل هو منتصر على كل الأحوال حتى لو أسر أو قتل. He says, if we broaden our perspective, we will come to realize that whoever rides the peak of Islam, and the peak of Islam is jihad, whoever practices the peak of Islam can never lose, but will always win, definitely. But we have to broaden our perspective in what victory means. You could lose in the military sense, but you are victorious. So according to the true Islamic definition of victory, yes, you will be victorious all the time. You will never lose. وَلَوْ أَعْطَيْنَا مَفْهُمَ النَّصْرِ حَقَّهُ وَقَدْرَهُ الْحَقِيقِ وَذَلِكَ مِنْ خِلَالِ التَّأَمُّلِ في أدلة الكتاب والسنة لوجدنا أن الأمة الإسلامية جمعاء لا يمكن أن تخسر بالجهاد بل الجهاد ربح على كل أحواله وإن بدأ أحيانا في الميدان غير ذلك. And collectively, the Muslim Ummah, if they practice jihad في سبيل الله, can never lose, but they will always win. ونقف بعبارات يسيرة على بعض معاني النصر التي وردت في الكتاب والسنة رغم أن العبارات لا تكفيها فهي تحتاج إلى بسط مطول في مصنف مستقل ولكن ما لا يدرك كله لا يترك جله. He said, we're going to talk about some meanings of victory even though this is an issue that needs a separate book. But we're going to mention some of these meanings in the section of this book. أول معاني النصر, the first meaning of victory. إن أعظم أنواع النصر وهو الذي يتحقق لكل مجاهد سواء على مستوى الفرد أو على مستوى الأمة هو انتصار المجاهد على نفسه وشيطانه والمحبوبات الثمانية وما يتفرع عنها من محبوبات عندما يسلك طريق الجهاد وتلك الجوابذ الأرضية التي فشل كثير من المسلمين بل فشلت الأمة بمجموعها في الانتصار عليها عدها الله تعالى بقوله. The first meaning of victory, he says, the greatest type of victory is the victory that is achieved by every mujahid. And this victory is the victory of the mujahid against his self and against his shaitan and against the attachment to this world. The eight things that are mentioned in the ayah of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he mentions the ayah. And he says that the mujahid achieves victory in an area that most of the ummah fail to sacrifice and go out fi sabilillah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, say, if your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, your kindred, the wealth that you have gained, the commerce in which you fear a decline, and the dwellings in which you delight, are dearer to you than Allah and His Messenger, and striving hard and fighting in his cause, then wait until Allah brings about his decision, his punishment. And Allah guides not the people who are al-fasiqoon, the rebellious or the disobedient to Allah. Dear brothers, this ayah mentions the eight barriers between the Muslim and jihad. This ayah mentions eight obstacles in the path of jihad fi sabilillah. And other obstacles, if there are other obstacles, are related to these. What are these obstacles? Number one, your fathers. Especially in our day, today, in a time when the ummah doesn't really understand what its responsibility towards Islam is. You know, the ummah, they love Allah Azza wa Jalla, they love Rasulullah, they want to be Muslim, they're proud of being Muslim, But they don't really understand what Allah expects from them. They don't understand what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded them. Jihad fi sabilillah today is a fariḍa. However, rarely would you find parents who would tell their children to go and fight fi sabilillah. So when Allah says your fathers are an obstacle, that is truly the case today. The fathers are obstacles in the majority of the ummah. The father is not going to allow the son to go and fight fi sabilillah. And it is said that Khattab said that if we did not disobey our fathers, none of us would have fought jihad fi sabilillah. We had to disobey our parents. And disobeying them in this regard is a virtue. You know, obeying the parents is second in importance to obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. But in this area, it is a virtue to disobey them because you are disobeying them for the sake of Allah. See, you obey the parents when their commands are in line with the commands of Allah. But the moment they clash, the moment they contradict each other, then who do you choose? Do you choose Allah or do you choose your parents? It's very clear, you choose Allah Azza wa Jal. You put the commands of Allah over everything else. Therefore, a person who is otherwise obedient to the parents, and in this situation would disobey them, this shows that his obedience to his parents is for the sake of Allah and is not out of tradition. It shows that he has the right intention in obeying the parents. Because there are people who obey the parents just because the tradition tells them so. And there are people who obey the parents because they want to please Allah. And this would show you that this person is having ta'at al-walidain, being dutiful towards the parents. He's doing it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because when the command of Allah clashes with the command of the parents, he would put the command of Allah first. So this is the first barrier. The second, your sons. Those of you who are married, understand how dear one's children are. And therefore in the hadith it says, الولد مجبنة مبخلة. That children cause you to be stingy and to be a coward. Having children causes these two diseases, except for the ones whom Allah Azza wa Jalla has mercy on. It causes a person to have bukhl, to be miser, stingy. Why? Because, I have to support a family now, I have to buy my kids clothes, I have to feed them, I have to do this and that. So the hand becomes very tight when it comes to giving money. And also it causes a person to think twice before taking the decision to fight for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So a lot of people, when you talk to them, why don't you go and fight jihad fi sabilillah? He said, my jihad is taking care of my family. That's my jihad. He's fooling himself to thinking that he's a mujahid fi sabilillah. His children are a barrier, are an obstacle. His family is an obstacle standing between him and jihad fi sabilillah. And it's unfortunate that this disease even reaches to brothers who understand jihad fi sabilillah and who were at one moment mujahideen fi sabilillah. But they get married, they have kids, and suddenly now this becomes an excuse for them to sit behind. It's a fitna that holds them down to dunya. Therefore, a person who is married and has children and goes out fi sabilillah could get more reward than a bachelor who has nothing to care about. And that's why the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the fitna in their case was full. They were not married to one wife. Many of them were married to two, three, or four. And they didn't have one or two children. They had plenty of children. And they didn't have a lot of money to support their family. They had very limited resources. So the fitna in their situation was complete. So when they took the step and go out and fight fi sabilillah, that was a huge leap. So families are a big fitna. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrah, hijrah initially was fard, ayn. It was mandatory. So some of the Muslims in Mecca wanted to go out and make hijrah. And hijrah was a huge sacrifice. You know, you're leaving behind your homeland, you're leaving behind your business, because they didn't allow them to take their money. Their property, their real estate was confiscated. They couldn't take any of that with them. And they're going to a foreign land and they have no support over there, no financial support. So it's a very difficult situation. So some of the Muslims, they wanted to make hijrah. So their wives and children came and hugged them held them by their clothes and told them, who are you going to leave us for? Are you going to leave us alone and travel and just and leave us here with no supporter, nobody to take care of us? And they were weeping and crying. And so what happened? These Muslims, their hearts were soft, so they ended up staying behind. Why? To take care of their families. So days passed, months, years, and then Rasulullah ﷺ and the Sahaba open Mecca. They conquer Mecca, and they come in. Now these Muslims who stayed behind, they disobeyed Allah in one thing, just one command, and that is they didn't make hijrah. But the consequences of this were that they missed out on jihad fi sabilillah with Rasulullah, attending the halaqat of Rasulullah, attending the khutbah of Rasulullah in the Masjid al-Nabawi, attending the tarbiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, living in the Islamic community of Medina. So they lost all of this just because of one command that they disobeyed. And Ibn al-Qayyim says that good deeds multiply and sins multiply. So this sin, it was one sin, but it multiplied. They lost out on so much because of this. An example of deeds multiplying, let's say that you're sitting at home and it's time for salah. And you make the decision to go and pray jama'ah. So this is one good deed. You made the decision, the intention to go and pray jama'ah. Now you walk out of your house. With every step you take, you have hasana. You reach to the masjid, you give people salam. You're getting ajr for the salam. Your sins are falling down when you shake the hands of your brother. And then you pray in jama'ah, so you receive the ajr of salat al-jama'ah. And then after jama'ah, you make dhikr, so you receive the ajr of dhikr. And then you pray the sunnah and you receive the ajr of sunnah. And then you come back home and you're receiving ajr for every step that you take home. So you notice here that one good deed multiplied. Now if you stayed home, you would have missed out on all of that. Also, sins multiply. A person can make the decision to drink alcohol, and then he gets drunk, kills someone, or commits zina, or does other sins. So here, one sin multiplied. So if he didn't commit that single sin of drinking and getting drunk, he wouldn't have went through with all of the other sins. So sins multiply and good deeds multiply. Now these Sahaba, or Muslims, who stayed behind in Mecca, now when they saw Rasulullah ﷺ and the Sahaba coming back, they saw the great status that these Sahaba achieved because of spending years with Rasulullah ﷺ, attending Badr, Uhud, Al-Khandaq, all of these battles, studying under Rasulullah. So they had all of this ilm and they didn't have any of that knowledge. They memorized all of Quran and these Muslims only knew a few ayat. So they felt very angry and upset that we have missed out on all of this ajr just because of our families. And Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the ayah, قُلْ إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًّا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. Some of your wives and children are enemies of you, so beware, be careful from them. These people whom you think are your allies, are your friends, are the closest people on the face of the earth to you, your wife and your children, Allah is telling you, be careful, they could be your enemy. They could be the adu. So these Muslims went back to their house very angry. They were picking up these sticks, batons, and beating up their wives and their children. Look at what you have done to us. We have lost out on all of this ajr because of you. So Allah Azza wa Jal reveals the rest of the ayah. وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. If you forgive, then Allah Azza wa Jal is forgiving and merciful. Now it's not going to do you any good to beat up your wives and your children. It's too late now. Beating them up won't change anything. So Allah Azza wa Jal says the only avenue that you have is to forgive them. You have lost that ajr and there's no way to make it up. So we need to be very careful, especially brothers who already understand jihad fi sabilillah and the requirements of jihad fi sabilillah today, and they probably were mujahideen at one point of time. They need to understand how much of a priority is the family compared to jihad fi sabilillah. See, jihad fi sabilillah now is fardain. It's fardain. So it needs to take a priority over everything else, including the family. وأبنائكم, your children. So that's the second obstacle. The third, وإخوانكم, your brothers. Brothers can also be an obstacle. They wouldn't support you. They wouldn't help you out. They wouldn't take care of whatever you would leave behind you when you would go out in jihad fi sabilillah, whether it's a family or business or. وعشيرتكم. عشيرة is translated here as kindred. Today we call it nation, homeland, country. And nationalism is an obstacle. People would put the interest of the nation before the interest of jihad fi sabilillah azza wa jal. So they say, we need to keep peace in our nation. We need to keep problems away from our nation. Why? Because this is the maslaha of our nation. We need to look at the maslaha of the deen of Allah azza wa jal, not the maslaha of a nation. Nations come and go, but the religion of Allah azza wa jal is what we need to work for. A lot of brothers or movements, they refrain from jihad fi sabilillah in the name of protecting our nation from trouble. And this is an obstacle that stands between people and jihad fi sabilillah. For example, in some Muslim countries, they say that, you know, we don't want any jihad over here because then it's going to bring the kuffar and they're going to invade our land and they're going to cause us problems. That's not the justification for not fighting jihad fi sabilillah. You do what Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to do, and then you leave the results on Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah destines that the enemies of Allah will come and invade your country or nation or whatever, then that's the qadr of Allah. You do what Allah tells you to do. You're not the one running the universe. It's Allah Azza wa Jal. So you leave it. You leave the result to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah has instructed us to fight jihad fi sabilillah. We do it as a ibadah. A lot of Muslims now, they fight for nationalism. They fight for their countries, but they don't fight for Allah Azza wa Jal. They don't fight for the honor of the Muslims. They don't fight for the honor of the religion of Allah. They hear that the Quran could be abused and they don't do anything. They hear that Muslim women are being raped and they do nothing. But if the president or king tells them, let's fight against this particular nation, even if it's a Muslim nation, they're all going to line up and fight. They're fighting for nationalism, but they're not fighting for Islam. And then Allah says, وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا. The wealth that you have gained and the commerce in which you fear decline. These are two obstacles, but they're related. Wealth that you already have, money, the cash money that you have, or whatever real estate you have. And then also your business, the profits that you are anticipating to make. This is something that stands between people and jihad fi sabilillah. Some people stay behind from jihad because of their shop. Some people because of their restaurant. Some people because they're employees. But these are obstacles. Allah calls them obstacles. Brothers and sisters who are trying to find excuses from jihad fi sabilillah, they say that this is da'wah, this is jihad. You know, I'm an engineer. I'm serving the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm a teacher. I'm a doctor. Well, if jihad fi sabilillah is fard ayn, then you have to do it. Yes, it's important that the ummah needs doctors, it needs engineers, it needs teachers, it needs every profession. But can you say that I'm not going to pray and I'm not going to fast because I'm a doctor? Does anybody say that? So what's the difference between jihad fi sabilillah and salah? We have already said that jihad fi sabilillah is fard just like salah and just like siyam. وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا, and dwellings in which you delight. Let me just make one more comment regarding commerce in which you fear a decline. Allah says, the commerce in which you fear a decline. When the Ansar supported Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and pledged allegiance to him, that they will defend him just like they would defend their families, that was a serious pledge because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taking them from one front to another, from one battle to another. Therefore, their business declined. They weren't able to take care of their farms. Farms need constant attendance. You know, it's not like being an employee, you work 5 days a week. With plants, you can't tell them that I'm going to take a holiday or vacation. I'm only going to come and take care of you plants 5 days a week, and then I want to take summer off. Doesn't work with plants. You have to be there all the time. So the Ansar, radiallahu anhum, they had to neglect their farms, and therefore their income was suffering. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam opened Mecca, they said, alhamdulillah, we have done our part. we have supported Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now his homeland is opened, so we can go back and take care of our farms. We've done what we have to do, and now it's time to go and take care of business. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the ayah, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Allah said, don't throw yourselves into destruction. Allah called the Ansar going back to their farms destruction, even though it wasn't a jihad that was fard ayn for them. It was fard kifayah. It wasn't an individual fard, but it was a collective fard. Meaning if some of them do it, then it suffices. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari said, this ayah was revealed talking about us. Allah was telling us that if we go back to our farms and take care of them, then we have thrown ourselves into destruction. So let the Muslims who are now busy with their employment, busy with their business, hear this ayah. You are throwing yourselves into destruction when you are giving up jihad fi sabilillah for your work, for your livelihood. Dwellings. وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا. Dwellings in which you delight. The word of home in Arabic is maskan. Dwellings is maskan. Maskan comes from sakina, tranquility. You feel peace and tranquility when you are at home. Our homes are places of peace, tranquility. We are naturally attached to our places of residence, specifically the house, and then it also includes our homeland. You feel homesick. We have a certain routine that we get used to in our house. The food that we eat, the bed which we sleep on, our schedule, and anything that interrupts this routine gives you a feeling of insecurity, which is opposite to tranquility. You have tranquility at home, but when that changes, you feel insecure. A mujahid fi sabilillah goes through routine change. The food that you're eating is different than the food that your mom or your wife cooks for you. The bed that you're sleeping on is not as comfortable. Weather could be different. Your sleeping schedule could be different. And all of this makes you eager to go back to your home. It makes you feel homesick. So an Arab mujahid who would go and join the Kashmiris will find that the food is too spicy. And the Pakistani mujahid who will go and fight, for example, in Iraq or somewhere will not like the food because it's too bland. The routine changes. The temperature is different. Abdullah ibn Umar, as an example, I mean, this holds true to many other Sahaba, when he was fighting jihad fi sabilillah in Armenia, here is a man who grew up in Arabia where the weather is very hot, and now he's fighting in a few feet of snow. So the routine changes, and this is something that is not easy. It's a sacrifice. Probably this is one reason why Hajj is related to jihad fi sabilillah. In some ahadith, you find that ahadith would mention both jihad and hajj in the same hadith. For example, in the hadith when Aisha came to Rasulullah ﷺ and said, the men join you in jama'ah, the men join you in jum'ah, and the men join you in jihad. What about us women? Rasulullah ﷺ told her, your jihad is what? Hajj. Because hajj is similar, although on a lower scale, to jihad fi sabilillah. It involves traveling. Many times jihad involves traveling. It involves a discontinuity of your routine. For example, the clothes that you're wearing in hajj are different. You're not allowed to cut your nails and trim your hair. Yani these which are sunan of fitrah, these things which are sunan of fitrah, which are used to doing as a Muslim, you're not allowed to do them when you are in ihram. The food that you're eating is different. The places that you're sleeping in Arafah and in Mina, it's not very comfortable. So there's a change in routine. Also, you are sacrificing money. It costs you money to go to hajj. Therefore, there is a similarity between hajj and jihad fi sabilillah. Although the sacrifice in jihad is obviously greater. If your longing and your love for your place of residence keeps you away from jihad fi sabilillah, it becomes an obstacle. One of the Sahaba in the Battle of Tabuk. Tabuk was a battle which involved a very long travel. It was very hot. It was in midsummer. And the fruits were ready to be harvested. in Medina. So everybody is anticipating the harvesting season. And Rasulullah ﷺ tells them that we need to go and fight the Romans. So this was a serious sacrifice. One of the Sahaba, he went to his first house, saw that his wife has splashed the area in front of the house with water, which cools the temperature. And then he goes to his other house and finds that his other wife has done the same. So that held him back. And he did not join the army. And he was one of the three who stayed behind. So this is a person whom was held back by his love of his house. And those of you who have experienced breaking your routine, understand that it could get to you after a while. You know, for a day or two, a week or two, probably you could withstand that. But when it drags on for months, then that's a sacrifice for years. There's some mujahideen who spend years in the front line without going back to the house, without going back to their family. That takes a lot of sabr, takes a lot of patience. Therefore, a very important khuluq, characteristic of a mujahid, is patience, sabr. So after these eight, Allah's saying, say if your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, your kindred, the wealth that you have gained, the commerce in which you fear a decline, and the dwellings in which you delight, are dearer to you than Allah and His Messenger, and striving hard and fighting jihad in His cause, then wait until Allah brings about His decision. His decision is punishment. And Allah guides not the people who are fasiqun. وَالْعَبْدُ حِينَمَا يَتْرُكُ هَذِهِ الْمَحْبُوبَاتِ الثَّمَانِيَةِ وَيَخْرُجُ لِلْجِهَادِ يَكُونُ قَدْ انْتَصَرَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَعَلَى شَهْوَتِهِ وَعَلَى هَذِهِ الْجِوَادِ بِالْمُثَبِّطَةِ. When the mujahid goes out and achieves victory against these eight obstacles, that's a great victory. وَمِنْ خِلَالِ هَذَا النَّصْرِ يَكُونُ قَدْ حَقَّقَ نَصْرًا آخَرَ هُوَ أَعْظَمْ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِ حينما ثبت له أنه ليس من أهل الفسق. And he has also achieved another victory, and that is not being a fasiq. Because Allah says in the end of the ayah that Allah does not guide the fasiqun. So isn't this a serious form of victory? That you do not become a fasiq because you were able to overcome these obstacles.
كل هذا النصر قد حصل له عندما أثبت عملياً أنه يحب الله ورسوله والجهاد في سبيله فما أعظم ذلك النصر.
You achieve this victory by proving that you love Allah and His Messenger and jihad في سبيل الله in a practical way. So it's not lip service anymore. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says if any of these eight is dearer to you than Allah and His Messenger and jihad. So if you love any of these eight more than Allah and His Messenger and jihad fi sabilillah, then you have become a fasiq and you should await the punishment of Allah. So those people who claim, and every Muslim wants to love Allah and to love the Messenger of Allah, they need to prove that. And the way to prove that is through action, not through words. And the action is, you become a mujahid. So all of these people who are making a big deal about yani, we are the ones who can show you the way to the love of Rasulullah and the love of Allah. You know, a lot of Islamic groups claim that they can show you the path. We are the ones who love Allah. We are the ones who love Rasulullah. See how much we sing about Rasulullah, how much nasheed we make about Rasulullah, how much celebration we have for the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's all talk. If you want to show that you love Allah and love Rasulullah, then go out and become a mujahid. And you don't have to talk about it anymore. You have proved it through your action. See, this is not a religion of talk, it's a religion of action. Iman needs to manifest itself through action. So this is the first meaning of victory. Second meaning, الثاني.
وَإِذَا خَرَجَ الْعَبْدُ لِلْجِهَادِ يَكُونُ قَدْ حَقَّقَ انْتِصَارًا آخَرَ وَلَكِنْ هَذِهِ الْمَرَّةِ انْتِصَارُهُ عَلَى شَيْطَانِهِ الذي يتربص به ويحاول إعاقته عن الجهاد بكل السبل.
The second form of victory is if a Muslim goes out في سبيل الله, then he has achieved another victory, and that is victory against Shaytan. Shaytan, who is trying to stop you from jihad في سبيل الله, as mentioned in the hadith of Abu Huraira in Bukhari,
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says, إن الشيطان قعد لابن آدم في طريق الإيمان فقال له أو تؤمن وتذر دينك ودين آبائك فخالفه فآمن. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says that Shaitan tried to prevent you from seeking the path of Iman. And he told you, are you going to leave your religion and the religion of your forefathers? But this servant disobeyed Shaitan. ثم قعد له على طريق الهجرة فقال له أتهاجر وتترك مالك وأهلك فخالف وهاجر. Then Shaitan tried to prevent him from seeking the path of Hijrah. And he told him, are you going to leave your family and your wealth? But this servant disobeyed him. ثم قعد له على طريق الجهاد فقال له أتجاهد فتقتل نفسك فتنكح نساؤك ويقسم مالك فخالفه فجاهد فقتل فحق على الله أن يدخله الجنة. And then Shaitan tried to prevent him from seeking the path of jihad في سبيل الله. And he told him, are you going to go and fight? And then you would be killed. And your wife would marry somebody else. And your wealth will be divided. But he disobeyed him and fought jihad. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, if for this person, it is guaranteed that Allah Azza wa Jal will enter him into Jannah. So Shaitan first tries to prevent you from becoming a Muslim. And then he tries to prevent you from hijrah. And then he tries to prevent you from jihad fi sabilillah. If you disobey Shaitan in all of these three, then Jannah is guaranteed for you. The third form of victory, إِنَّ الْمُجَاهِدَ إِذَا خَرَجَ لِلْجِهَادِ فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ حَقَّقَ نَصْرًا لِأَنَّهُ أَصْبَحَ مِنْ أَهْلِ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The third form of victory, the Mujahid has achieved victory because he is included in the saying of Allah, and those who strive in our cause, we will certainly guide them to our paths. For verily Allah is with those who do right. So if you are doing mujahada, if you are involved in mujahada, what will the result be? Allah will guide you. So isn't this a form of victory that you have become one of those whom Allah will guide? Aren't we all searching for guidance? Isn't the most frequent dua that we make is the dua of Fatiha? We ask Allah to guide us, and we make this dua in every rak'ah of salah. Ihdina as-salat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. We do it 17 times in salat al-fard, and then we do it more than that in sunnah. The most frequently mentioned dua that a Muslim ever makes. And here Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling you that I'm going to guide you. If you're involved in mujahada, I'm going to guide you. This is the third understanding or meaning of victory. فما أعظم ذلك النصر عندما يتعرض المجاهد لهداية الله عز وجل فأعظم نصر على الشيطان هو الهداية وأعظم فضل من الله سبحانه وتعالى هو التوفيق لها فمن جاهد فقد حقق النصر بالهداية وأصبح من المحسنين الذين لهم من الله معية خاصة معية النصر والتوفيق والهداية والصلاح ولو جاهدت الأمة بمجموعها وشاركت في الجهاد حقا لأصبحت أمة مهدية. If the ummah fight jihad fi sabillah, then they will become a guided ummah. The reason why we are misguided is because we have left jihad fi sabillah. But the moment the ummah wakes up and stands up for its responsibility and fights jihad fi sabillah azza wa jal, Allah will guide the ummah. It's a promise from Allah azza wa jal. The fourth meaning of victory, وبخروج العبد للجهاد يكون قد انتصر على المثبطين من بني جلدته الذين يتحدثون بلسانه بل بعضهم يتفيهق بلي أعناق النصوص لتخدم تثبيطه للأمة عن طريق الجهاد وقد فضحهم الله بقوله. When you go out in the path of Allah and become a mujahid, you have achieved victory against the ones who try to discourage you from jihad fi sabilillah, the ones who speak your tongue and claim to be a Muslim, but are twisting the evidence to try to discourage you from becoming a mujahid. And Allah Azza wa Jal says about them, لَوْ خَرَجُوا فِيكُمْ مَا زَادُوكُمْ إِلَّا خَبَالًا وَلَا أَوْضَعُوا خِلَالَكُمْ يَبْغُونَكُمُ الْفِتْنَةِ وَفِيكُمْ سَمَّاعُونَ لَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. Allah exposes them by saying, had they marched out with you they would have added to you nothing except disorder. And they would have hurried about in your midst, spreading corruption and sowing sedition among you. And there are some among you who would have listened to them. And Allah is the all-knower of the zalimun, the wrongdoers. These people can come in the form of shuyukh, scholars. And they would tell you this is not the time for jihad fi sabilillah. And because they're scholars, you would listen to them. وَفِيكُمْ سَمَّاعُونَ لَهُمْ Allah Azza wa Jal says, and there are some among you who would have listened to them. See, this ayah was revealed in the time of Rasulullah. It is saying that there are some Muslims who would have listened to these people. Why would they listen to these people? Because of the status that they have. They're leaders in their communities. They're scholars. They're people who know how to speak. These people are discouraging Muslims from jihad fi sabilillah. And they are munafiqun. Any Muslim who discourages Muslims from jihad fi sabilillah is a munafiq, because this ayah is talking about al-munafiqun. A Muslim who becomes a mujahid has disobeyed these people. I don't care about what your status is, how good you are at speaking, how scholarly you claim to be. This is what Allah wants from me and I'm going to do it. And this is one of the most, I would say today, one of the most serious fitna that the young brothers face. That their scholars are not encouraging them. Instead, they are discouraging them. That the Islamic movements are not preparing them, but they are holding them back. So a person who is able to defeat the munafiqun, this is a very serious, very important form of victory, especially in our time. يخاطب الله بهذه الآية صحابة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن فيهم سماعون للمثبطين ليس لضعف إيمانهم ولكن لأن المثبطين أصحاب منزلة في أقوامهم أخفت بواطنهم. He says that Allah is speaking to the Sahaba in this ayah and telling them that some of you would have listened to them, not because of the lack of iman of the Sahaba, but because of the status of these people. And their high status conceals the truth of what is inside their hearts. But Allah saved the Sahaba by not allowing these people to go out with them in the army. Because if they went out, they would have spread dissension, fitna. وَلِعَظَمْ فِتْنَةِ الْمُثَبِّطِينَ وَلَبْسِهِمْ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَبِإِتْقَانِ شُبَهِهِمْ يُمْكِنُ لِأَهْلِ الْإِيمَانِ أَنْ يَنْخَدِعُوا بِقَوْلِهِمْ لِذَا حَذَّرَ اللَّهُ خَيْرَ النَّاسِ بَعْدَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ مِنْهُمْ وَمِنَ الْمُثَبِّطِينَ مَنْ فَضَحَهُ اللَّهُ بِقَوْلِ تَعَالَى. So because of the extreme danger of these people, Allah Azza wa Jal had to warn the best people after the Anbiya, the Sahaba of Rasulullah. Allah had to warn them from these people. So this is a very serious fitna. Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَرِحَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ بِمَقَعَدِهِمْ خِلَافَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَكَرِهُ أَن يُجَاهِدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَقَالُوا لَا تَنْفِرُوا فِي الْحَرِّ قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرًّا لَوْ كَانُوا يَفْقَهُونَ. Those who stayed away in Tabuk rejoiced in their staying behind the Messenger of Allah. They hated to strive and fight with their properties and their lives in the cause of Allah, and they said, march not forth in the heat, because it was a very hot season. Say, the fire of hell is more intense in heat. If only they could understand. فَالْمُثَبِّطُونَ عَنِ الْجِهَادِ يَجْلِبُونَ بِخَيْلِهِمْ وَرَجْلِهِمْ وَبِكُلِّ مَا أُوتُوا مِنْ قُدْرَةٍ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ لِيَمْنَعُوا الْعَبْدَ مِنَ الْجِهَادِ وَبِالتَّالِي يَمْنَعُونَ الْأُمَّةَ مِنَ السَّيْرِ عَلَى طَرِيقِ الْعِزَّةِ. والمجاهد حينما يخرج للجهاد يكون قد حقق انتصارا على الخوالف المثبطين فبعد انتصاره على نفسه وشهوته ودنياه انتصر على شيطانه ومن ثم انتصر على المخذلين من بني جلدته الذين يتحدثون بلسانه. He says that the mujahid fi sabilillah has defeated his self, the evil self, and he has defeated shaitan, and he has defeated the ones who discourage him from jihad fi sabilillah, and this is a great victory. And again, this issue of muthabbitin, it is because of the status of these people that they are able to convince the Muslims that they should not fight jihad fi sabilillah. It is because of this high status, because they are famous shuyukh, and because they're celebrities. This is why the majority
of the youth who would otherwise want to serve Allah Azza wa Jal the way that pleases Allah, but it is because of them that they are holding back all of these Muslims. Look at how much sin that these people are accumulating. What they are doing falls under the service of al-kuffar. Their da'wah is in service of al-kuffar. Whether they're paid for it or not, whether they met with intelligence agencies or not, it doesn't make a difference. If what you're doing is serving the kuffar, then you have become one of them. Whether you're doing it for a pay or you're doing it for free, whether you are doing it in coordination with them or doing it on your own, doesn't make a difference. The end result is the same. Inshallah, we'll stop here. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.